Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, I want to share with you regarding something I was reading in the book of John, which I thought was so awesome and amazing because I am so stuck in the Gospels, man. I cannot get out of the Gospels. The words in red. I highly recommend them. And those are Jesus' words, by the way. And I love Jesus. You know, I love him.
Good.
That's a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
And I notice as I'm reading that, you know, Jesus' life was extremely complicated, if you will. I mean, on one side of his life, right, he's experiencing every day some of the most amazing things that are occurring. I mean, he is healing blind eyes. He's telling a man to get up off of his mat who has been paralyzed for years and walk.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling a woman who's had an issue of the issue of blood for over 12 years and no doctor can heal her.
Mm-hmm.
She's healed by touching the cloak and he feels virtue, power leave his body. He delivers and set free the man at the tomb because he had legion, which was, you know, maybe over 1,000 demons in him. And he's set free in his right mind. And once mm-hmm. he gives his life to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he comes off of a mountain and Jairus says, come and pray for my daughter for she's dead. And he raises her from the dead. He sees a man who has a shriveled hand and brings it, says, let your hand be whole.
Mm-hmm.
He sees a man come down from a mat from the roof as he's teaching, and he heals the man. I mean, Jesus is doing miraculous things. By the way, did I mention he's walking on water?
Mm-hmm.
He has an experience on the Mount of Transfiguration there. And, I mean, Jesus is amazing. Yeah,
that's just what they wrote down.
Exactly.
They said there wasn't enough mm-hmm. books to contain everything.
Volumes to contain.
Right.
He changes water into wine, and he takes a boat to go to a remote place only to find out that there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people waiting for him. He was extremely popular, and he was abiding with God, right, if you will. He was praying every morning when the disciples would find him. He was alone by the mountainside praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one aspect of Jesus' life.
Right.
And then the other aspect of, he has religious people of the day, Pharisees, who want to literally kill him. They want him gone. They want him murdered. They want him dead. And he's combating and dealing with all of this stuff. And it's like, it's totally, totally amazing. I'm reading John 7. It's like, you know, Jesus was so good to let the main thing be the main thing. Oftentimes people, you hear that statement, it's not personal, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with God, it's not personal, it's, you know, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. But he didn't fall to the left or he didn't fall to the right. I mean, I'm reading in John, and this is what it says, John chapter 7, verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee purposely, staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, listen to this, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. They're being sarcastic with Jesus, his brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 5 says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Wow. And you think about the humility of Christ. You think about the humility of Jesus. On one side of his life, he doesn't fall because he's fully God, fully man. And the best way I guess I can describe this, and forgive me for the analogy, but, you know, he leaves his Superman cape, if you will, in heaven and lives on earth as Clark Kent, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you think at any certain time, if it was me, I would have said something by now, but thank God it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But Jesus' humility doesn't even respond to me. He didn't fall to the praises of men. He didn't have a paparazzi and an entourage, and he didn't have, you know, announcement mm-hmm. bulletins saying he was arriving at a certain city. He didn't have all of that. He didn't fall to the praises of men, nor did he fall and become bitter and offended of the attacks of the Pharisees? Can you imagine? He's God, and they're hurling insults at him while he's on the cross. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not mm-hmm. what they do.
Amazing.
The Bible says that he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And you look back and you think about these things, you say, he was absolutely amazing. And he gives us an example of how we're to live, how we can carry this out. When we get back from the break, we're going to find out, you know, why didn't Jesus fall to the left, to the right? What was it? One of the things was he understood how people were, that they were fickle. One day it's Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The other day it's crucify, crucify, crucify. But when we get back from this break, we're going to share some more. Remember, it's not personal, it's spiritual. We're talking about, Steve, it's not personal, it's spiritual. Jesus understood that although he had some of the most greatest miracles happening in his life and in his ministry, and he was touching so many people, his is a man who came who taught with authority, and they recognized this man was not a studied man. Who is he? With what authority is he coming teaching? And he's healing people, performing these miracles, and people are coming by the droves. He walks on water. He turns water into wine. And he makes a couple of fish and some pieces of bread into a feast. I mean, he does everything. Even the wind obeys him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't fall to any to the pride of life. He doesn't fall to that. Nor does he fall to the people that are trying to attack him. And even his own brothers did not believe in him. Jesus understood. He understood, one, that people were fickle. That one day they'd say, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the next day they'd say, crucify, crucify. And he also knew that he was in vertical relationship with God the Father. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, he was able to rise above both instances. He wasn't able to lower himself and fall to either one, because he understood that his relationship with Father God, he was united with him. And I love the humility that exists in the Trinity. I mean, every time you see Jesus talking about the Father, it's always about bringing glory to the Father. Mm-hmm. It's about obeying what the Father instructed him to do. I only say and do what I hear the Father. I only do what I see the Father doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives to glorify the Father. I mean, that's it. And then you have the Holy Spirit, who's always, you know, revealing what Jesus taught. It's like, you know, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he'll remind you of what I told you, you know, and showed you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Father is always backing the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a whole bunch of sins that God will forgive, but the unpardonable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And there's such a beautiful, humility in the Trinity. It's just absolutely beautiful. But I think about, Pat, something that you shared with me one time that just won't leave me. It just wrecks me every single time I think about it. To understand, you know, really what Jesus did when he walked on the face of this earth, we need a paradigm. We need a way to view this. Because I think oftentimes people miscredit the miracles, Jesus' life, the great way that he loved in the midst of amazing hatred, you know, the teaching, everything that he did, the miracles, they discredit it because they think that Jesus did all of that, you know, while he was wearing his Superman cape because he was God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? No. All, everything that Jesus did is when he laid his Superman cape down, he's fully God, fully man, and he did it as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that paradigm, you go, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. And you're like, oh, okay, wow. But you shared something with me. I don't know if you remember this one time. He says, Jesus leaving heaven. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, you know, Book of John. Jesus was there in the beginning. But then Jesus left the splendor of heaven and came down to the earth, born of a virgin, and forever, forever will have a body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scars in his hand. what was that like to leave all of that splendor and then pay the ultimate price for humanity?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this. You said...
Oh, yeah.
You remember
it? Oh, yeah. It wrecked me when I heard it. It's the only thing you can compare it to, you know, obviously it's greater than this, but just for our own human ability to even consider what this would be like, it'd be like one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about an anthill and how insignificant an ant is, small, tiny little thing, you step on them when they bite you and you, you know, you just go on by them and they're an annoyance basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do all we can just try to kill them. But it'd be like Jesus leaving heaven. The only thing you can compare it to is like one of us becoming an ant in hopes to save these ants. Wow. Knowing one day these ants you're going to try and save will actually turn on you and kill you.
Think about that.
Think about that.
Leaving the splendor of earth, wealth, the luxuries.
Splendor of heaven.
No, this new analogy that Pat's given us. Living all of this as a man, your human interaction, all the things that we enjoy, reason, understanding, all the knowledge that we possess compared to an ant. To humble ourselves in such a way, because he says he humbled himself and became a servant and even became obedient to the cross, and to live this life as an ant to save ants. And you think, and with the knowledge of heaven, you still have the knowledge of earth and all the splendor.
Yeah.
And you're hearing the foolishness of the ants, the foolishness of man, you know, and they're trying to tell you, yes, and then there's this great God who hovers around us with great wind, and every time they come and cuts down our trees, and we fear for our lives, and no, that's a lawnmower that's circling above you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't attack. You just say yes, yes, obedient. This is what Jesus left. We know it's a weak analogy, but at least it helps us to get on a track to try to understand how much we were loved and still are loved by God. God loves you so much. And when God said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? Jesus made a conscientious effort to leave the splendors of heaven for us, for me, for you, so that we can be in eternity with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful thing. He didn't fall to the left. He didn't fall to the right. He understood his purpose. He understood what he was here to do. And the question is, do we understand our purpose? Do we get caught up in maybe the praises of men and we totally miss it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we get caught up in the attacks of what people are saying, which are being used by some, you know, they're being used, you know, their mouthpiece. It's not personal, it's spiritual. And if you don't know that you need to stay on track, you know, you gotta be walking with God. And one of the ways that the enemy would try to sidetrack you and get you, derail you off of your vision and off of your destiny with God is through a spirit of offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were just throwing so many arrows of offense against the Lord. How many times have you read the Bible and you're like, oh my goodness.
I get mad just reading it.
Yeah, think about it.
He said what?
They're hurling insults at him. They're pulling at his beard. And at any moment, because people that don't know God, they're saying, well, why didn't Jesus come off the cross? And why didn't he understand? Well, like he told Pontius Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take my life. Don't get it twisted here. You can't take my life.
Mm-hmm.
I lay it down. And I'm just, every time I read that, I go, Jesus, you're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You're amazing. Understand that he was very clear in his purpose and his understanding of why he came here. And we can too. He will empower us. He will help us. Don't get it twisted. Don't allow a spirit of offense to derail you. And now you're responding in the flesh and you're being taken down with bitterness and hate because you took something personally. Understand that what God's called you to do is so important. Stay focused upon the Lord. Abide with him. Let the love of God fill your heart. Keep your head low. Keep Jesus high and understand why you're here. It's to glorify him and to get the job done for him. We have such a short amount of time here on this earth. The Bible says life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. It's not personal, it's spiritual. Let's focus on Jesus and the cross and being and returning with Him and being with Him one day soon.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.